Welcome to Enriched Menopause, where perimenopausal and menopausal women can learn what's going on with their bodies and how to thrive during this stage and beyond. You are not crazy and you are not alone. I'm Dr. Jessica Rich. Let's do this together. Hello, and welcome back to Enriched Menopause. It's officially summer, and that means longer days and steamy nights. And I just love the energy of summer. I love the casualness to it. But of course, not everything about summer is easy breezy. When people were talking about hot girl summer, they were not talking about you dripping with sweat from your hot flashes. I mean, imagine you're going out to dinner, you're wearing something light, like a gorgeous silk dress or blouse, and you're sitting on the terrace of a rooftop or oceanside restaurant, and then you start having a hot flush, and you're just dripping with sweat, and that beautiful dress is just clinging to your skin. That's not really what we were going to. Of course, hot flushes affect so many women in perimenopause and menopause. It's about 80% of women who will have hot flushes. And these are typically temporary. They're not going to last forever, but they can come at unexpected times. Most women will get rid of the hot flushes at some point after they get through the transitions of perimenopause and the first few years of early menopause. But for some, they can be persistent for a longer time. In some cases, they can be mild and you might notice just a difference in heat and a little bit of sweating, but sometimes they can be really severe, enough to make you feel like you're having a heart attack or a panic attack, or enough to leave you drenched with sweat and feeling just uncomfortable and embarrassed. Of course, we've talked about hot flushes before as parts of previous episodes, but I wanted to kind of put it all together as we move into summer and the hotter months. If you're here with me in Miami, it's pretty much hot all year round, but summer has its own special type of heat and humidity that makes it almost unbearable to go outside. So let's talk about some options to try to keep as cool as possible as you go. Of course, the first thing we start with is always lifestyle modifications. And this basically means make sure that you're dressing for the weather. This isn't the time to wear your sweaters and jeans and boots. You want to have light layers that you can adjust. Sometimes having an extra change of clothing if you're having those really severe hot flushes. At night, I do this all the time. So I'll leave like an extra t-shirt by my bedside in case I wake up with those night sweats and just kind of drenched in sweat. But sometimes you may need it as you go out and about as well. Adjusting your fans and your air conditioning can be helpful. Now, of course, the other people in your house may not like this so much and your bills may be a little bit more difficult. So if you can't really keep the air conditioning where you want to, then sometimes sleeping with just like a fan, even a small fan, like on your bedside table at your side of the bed can help at night, and trying to adjust things during the day so that you're near the air conditioning, near the fan can be helpful. Now, of course, we don't want to have to go through all of that stuff, and we'll talk about some other ways to help treat it, but some little modifications can sometimes make a big difference. As we've talked about before, weight loss can be helpful. Mindfulness and breathing exercises or different meditation techniques can help you to get through that hot flush. It's not really going to stop the hot flush from coming, but can just help you to survive it a little bit better. Now, if those modifications aren't enough and you're having bothersome vasomotor symptoms or hot flushes, night sweats, then there are lots of different types of remedies and treatments that you can use. First, of course, there are herbal treatments, and there are so many different herbal treatments out there on the market. It can be hard to know what to choose. Everything is marketed as, you know, this will relieve all of your hot flushes. And really, there's mixed results for a lot of the herbal treatments. Things like black cohosh, St. John's wort, vitamin E, evening primrose, sage, dong quai, wild yam, maca, soy, and other sort of phytoestrogens estrogens like flaxseeds and red clovers all can be helpful for a lot of women. They tend to have mixed results in the studies. And sometimes I think this may be because they work a little bit better in conjunction with each other. So in some blended products rather than just taking one particular herb on its own. I really like Relizin for this in the herbal supplement department. This is a supplement that's made from red Swedish flower pollens that have been shown to have significant benefit in vasomotor symptoms and overall well-being from menopause. So that's one good place to start. But there are a lot of different herbs that can be tried if you want to go a more herbal route for your treatments. Acupuncture is another good option. Again, the results for this are somewhat mixed, but many women get significant relief from their vasomotor symptoms and their other menopausal symptoms from doing acupuncture. And then, of course, we look at hormone replacement therapy. Now, I've talked a lot about hormone replacement therapy in different episodes, so I just want to review a few important points to it here. Hormone replacement therapy has kind of a bad rap at some points because there have been some studies showing risks. And there are definitely risks to hormone replacement therapy, but there are significant benefits. And those risks vary quite a bit depending on when you're starting it, how far you are in your menopausal journey, and of course, your other medical factors. So when I'm talking about hormone replacement therapy, mostly I'm talking about using estrogen for the benefit of symptoms. It's going to help with those hot flushes and with those night sweats. It also tends to help with basically all of the other menopausal symptoms. So things like mood and sleep disturbances and the cosmetic symptoms with skin and hair and sometimes the body aches and joint and brain fog and kind of all of the above. So I think it's a great option, particularly for women who are having multiple symptoms in perimenopause and postmenopause. Generally, we think of estrogen as being what helps those symptoms, and there's not any specific dose that works for everyone, and I wouldn't recommend testing your levels to determine the dose for you. Generally, what we do is figure out, you know, somewhere in a moderate dose, and then we kind of adjust based on how you're responding to the medications. Now, it's very important that if you have a uterus and you're taking estrogen, that you take progesterone too. The progesterone is there to protect your uterus because if you're taking estrogen alone, that can give you uterine cancer. So very important to take the progesterone. But if you've had a hysterectomy and you no longer have a uterus, then the estrogen alone can be helpful and tends to have a little bit less risks than the combined options. So let's talk a little bit about what some of those risks may be. In general, what a lot of people hear about and what they're worried about is breast cancer risk. And there is an increase in risk of breast cancer with taking combined estrogen and progesterone hormone replacement therapy. Not the estrogen alone, that actually does not increase the risk of breast cancer, but the combined does. Now, it's a small increase in risk, less than 1% increase in the risk, but it is present. So if you are somebody who has high risk factors for breast cancer, you may want to consider whether that risk may be too much for you. But if you're someone who has average risk, that risk in general is low. There can also be cardiovascular risks for hormone replacement therapy. And this is where things get a little bit tricky because it can actually be beneficial for a lot of women who are younger and in that perimenopausal or early menopause stage. Think women who are in their 40s and 50s, kind of within 10 years of the last menstrual period. We actually tend to find more beneficial effects to the hormone replacement therapy in terms of cardiovascular effects. But as women get older and further into menopause, somewhere along the line, that sort of switches and the cardiovascular risks go up. So again, this is a bit of an analysis of the risks and benefits for where you're at in the stage and what your other particular cardiovascular risks are. In general, many of the hot flushes and other vasomotor symptoms that come along with perimenopause and menopause are going to die down and go away, or at least decrease in their intensity and their frequency within about 5 years of menopause. So many times using that hormone replacement therapy for 5 years or less is going to be enough for most women and is going to be considered overall very safe. Now, if you can't or don't want to be on hormone replacement therapy and the herbal supplements and acupuncture aren't working for you, then there are still additional options. Mostly, I think of certain antidepressants that can have a lot of effects, even in very low doses, for the hot flushes and vasomotor symptoms. They can also, of course, help the mood symptoms as well, since that's what they're initially developed for, and can help some of the sleep disturbances too. Paroxetine is one that's approved specifically for this in typically lower doses than we use for antidepressants. And this can be very helpful for the vasomotor symptoms. It's not something that women who are on tamoxifen should take, but overall, it's a fairly safe medication with relatively few side effects and can work really well. Venlafaxine or Effexor is another favorite of mine that tends to work very well with the vasomotor symptoms and also some of the other symptoms of menopause. And then there are certain other, especially SSRI type of antidepressant medications that can be helpful too. So this is one of those things that, especially if you're having the symptoms, if you don't want to be on hormones, if you're having some mood symptoms as well, particularly, I think that the antidepressants are a good way to go. Gabapentin is another good option that's been used for a very long time. This is basically a neurologic type medication that in very low doses can be very effective against hot flushes. It's sort of an off-label use for the gabapentin, but most people do really well with it. One of the main side effects to the gabapentin is drowsiness. So this is one that I usually have people take at bedtime, which can be helpful, especially for women who are having sleep disturbances in perimenopause. But typically a low dose of gabapentin, maybe like 100 milligrams at bedtime, can be really helpful at controlling those vasomotor symptoms and also helping with the sleep disturbances. And then, of course, if you listened to my episode from a couple of weeks ago, you would have heard about Veozah, which is a new medication just approved by the FDA. This is an NK3 receptor antagonist, which basically means that it's a medication that works specifically in the sort of thermostat in your brain that helps with your body. So we know from a lot of good studies that the thermoregulatory parts of the brain are very responsive to estrogens. And when the estrogen fluctuates and when it drops in perimenopause and postmenopause, that can cause an overproduction of these nerves in the brain that control your temperature. And that makes your body sort of perceive this excess temperature even when everything's fine. So small fluctuations in temperature can make your body kind of overreact to that. That's why you get that sweating and that sense of heat to really try to cool your body down. That's what your body's doing when it's doing a hot flush. And then that's why it does eventually cool your body down. And sometimes you can get like chills afterwards. Veozah is a newer medication that targets specifically those cells, and it can be very effective for a lot of women experiencing this. Now, of course, it's new, and there are a few things you need to monitor, particularly liver function is something that needs to be evaluated when you initially start taking this. But if you're curious about that, if you think it may be a good option for you, then just check out the episode from a couple of weeks ago where I go into the details of this medication. All of this is to say that there are a lot of options out there, and your unique situation is going to help determine what your needs are and what you respond to best. If you're just having very mild hot flashes and they're not too bothersome to you, and just standing next to a fan for a couple of moments is enough, then you really don't have to do anything about this. There's nothing dangerous about having a hot flush. It's really about your quality of life. But if you're having bothersome hot flushes, if you're having bothersome night sweats, you do not have to continue to suffer with that. You can get through these summer months with some relief. So talk to your doctor about which of these options may be a good choice for you.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the podcast, leave us a review, and share with someone in your life who may benefit from this too. Remember that while I am a doctor, this podcast does not constitute medical advice and is for informational purposes only. Talk with your doctor about what may apply to you and your health. We'll see you on the next episode of Enriched Menopause.